Babe, ain't nobody broke your goddamn wine glass.
You did.
Babe, no, I didn't.
You just broke one tonight, babe. I only got like one left. You've been breaking them over time. Yes, you have. You don't remember that?
No.
No, well, I'm telling you, you've been breaking them.
Ain't no sweat off your what?
Off my nipples, nigga.
Man, ain't nobody was breaking your damn wine glasses, man.
Babe, you have.
No, I haven't.
You always somewhere breaking some.
How many did you have?
You bought me a set of six. Is what it started off as.
So how many you got now?
Probably two.
Damn. My bad.
I've been having them though for a long time. You bought me them. I can't remember where we lived at. It might have been Sturgeon. I think you got me here. Yeah, it was.
Oh, so you done had them for a minute.
Yeah.
So they need to be broken. This knowledge, God, let's talk about it. Talk. Is let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Shit, this is episode This your boy DJ Knowledge God.
This is Queen. What's good, everybody?
And this is an official another episode of Let's Talk About It. This episode 35.
Our first episode for
2022. Yeah, and I know we've been missing out, man. We've been gone for a little minute. We done let Christmas and New Year's pass. So before we start the real show, we want to touch back, you know what I'm saying, on 2021. The end of the year, you know what I mean? We're not going to do no end of year recap or nothing like that because it's too late for that. How you want to start it off, babe?
I don't know. First of all, I want to tell everybody Happy New Year's. I mean, I know we're a little late, but Happy New Year's, everybody. And just a little bit about our holiday. We had a surprise proposal on Christmas. My brother asked his girlfriend to marry him. And when I say it was a beautiful moment.
Shout
it
really out to was. Shout out to my brother-in-law.
Congratulations again, brother and sister-in-law.
Yeah.
We're excited for you guys. And I'm geeked for the wedding.
Yeah, me too.
I really am. I'm geeked. I know how I felt when we got married. And I don't know. I don't think that feeling has ever went away, babe, to be honest with you. Even when I think about it, it makes me get happy all over again.
What, getting married and shit?
Yeah, the whole process.
Hey, the process was a motherfucker. The end results was this shit, but the process? Oh, my God. Hey.
It takes a lot.
Well, I can't say the process itself was much. I'm just saying the process that I went through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because when it was time for me to go get my tux, you know, the car broke down and I'm on the highway.
Yeah.
About to get fucked up, you know what I mean? I had to get motherfuckers to come get me and all that bullshit. So, yeah, it was a process like a motherfucker. But it was all worth it, though. You know, we had fun. Had fun like a motherfucker. I hope bro had fun on his wedding.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I
really hope
it's,
he don't.
It's literally like a dream come true.
I want him to go through the same shit I went through, man. So, man, make sure. Well, shit, they whips is good. So, hopefully, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're fine. Everything's going to work out fine. But, I mean, I don't feel like it's nothing that happened that was so detrimental to the point where, you know.
Nah.
We might have had a few little hiccups along the way, but that's what makes for a beautiful love story at the end of the day.
It ain't gonna never be perfect.
Yeah, oh no, ain't nothing gonna be perfect.
Especially your wedding, man. I mean, shit, y'all see the shows, motherfucking Bridezillas and all that other kind of shit, so it ain't gonna never be perfect.
You know what? I don't even think I was a Bridezilla, do you?
No.
Nope, I wasn't a Bridezilla. Nah. I remained calm through the whole, you know, the whole experience. I actually enjoyed it. From the beginning all the way up to walking in the door and seeing how everything, because, you know, she asked me, did I want pictures and videos of everything being set up? And I told her, no, I didn't want to see nothing.
Right.
Until we actually walked in the doors and seen everything, because I wanted to be surprised.
It was also a learning experience.
Yeah, it was.
For me, I mean, being that I have only been to two other weddings, my mom's wedding when she married my stepdad and James and Ariana.
Oh, you know, that's right, because you was in that wedding.
Yeah, but, you know, that was like a minute ago, so.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was a learning experience, just learning what to do, you know what I'm saying? It was, I kind of felt like when I walked out there, I was like walking out on stage for the first time, like about to perform or some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody looking at me and shit. Like, so that shit was crazy. So, I mean, you know, them little things, man, it don't seem like as much, but when you ain't used to having those big crowds looking at you and all in front of your face, that shit do fuck with you. I know I was nervous as hell, but at the same time, I'm like, I know I got to do this shit. Like, ain't no belling out. Ain't, you know what I mean? I got to go ahead and do this shit because.
Right.
So we can go ahead and get it finished because, you know. That's the only way. Got to do it in front of everybody. Like,
right.
Wish I could have told everybody, turn the fuck around. Quit looking at me. Yeah, that shit was cool, though.
Me, on the other hand, I'm used to big crowds. So, how I felt was, okay, this is my big moment. I couldn't wait for, you know, until it was time for me to come out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't nervous or nothing.
I was nervous as fuck. I'm telling you, man.
I wasn't nervous or nothing. I just felt like that feeling of being at ease. Because when you're the bride, I don't know how the groom feels, but when the whole process is like happening, it's the anticipation of the whole ceremony, the reception. And once I looked out that door and seen you up there at the altar, I knew this, all the sleepless nights I've had, all the stores I've been to, all the ripping and running, all the practicing you've been doing. You know, when I looked out there and seen you, I said, this is what it's for. This is the moment now. So I was geeked. I couldn't wait.
Hopefully, bro, and sister-in-law enjoy that shit like we did.
Yeah,
man.
They will. Because you already know she's wanting me to do it. And I told her, I said, well, I didn't do our wedding.
Right.
I'm sure I probably could take on a big task like that, but I don't want to. I don't want to have nobody depending on me to do their whole entire wedding. I just don't want that responsibility.
Yeah, that's a little.
That's putting a lot on my shoulders. And that's why we went out and got us a wedding planner, a decorator and all of that, because that's just too much. That's an unforgettable day. And so I can only imagine how a wedding planner or whatever feels when that weight is put on their shoulders to make sure they execute somebody's wedding day.
Right. And also, you know, with that being your first time, you don't want to fuck nothing like that up. You
that's
know what
I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. I don't want to take on, that's not my job.
Yeah, that's.
I'm a baker and cooker. Like I'm not stepping into the decorating and wedding planning, and I'm not stepping into that role. Now, I am going to do them a dessert bar, and you know, maybe cook a few things, you know, that's going to be on the menu as far as the entree goes. But no, we're going to have to probably reach out to Miss Kathy that done our wedding or a different wedding planner. You know, we're just going to have to look around because, y'all, I'm not taking on that responsibility.
I mean, well, it's not up to you, babe, to be looking around.
No, I'm just saying I can assist, being as though I am married. That's what I'm saying, like, because she doesn't know what to do, you know, just like I didn't. But now that we been married now about to be 5 years, I can help her along the way, you know.
Right. Well, it'll all figure itself out.
It will. I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy for him. But, yeah, we had a beautiful Christmas, and, I mean, we had a nice, calm New Year. We didn't do too much. We just chilled out and enjoyed each other's company.
And, yeah, other than that, we got new things coming. I know I've been screaming for a minute that we're going to start broadcasting. You know, I'm working on that right now. I'm also trying to work on articulating my words more. You know what I'm saying? I finally listened to our episodes with a majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the way I sound. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully I can articulate my words more, pronounce my words better, you know, and stop slurring so much. You know what I mean?
I agree.
shut up. Other than that, your boy done brought little studio equipment, man. I'm trying to make beats and hopefully Paris and her two little cousins, they gonna have their little group together, man. You know, so it's really for them, you know. By the time they really singing and really getting on their feet with their thing, I should be able to assist them with beats and all that. So, you know, it's really for them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's a hobby of mine. You know, I love music. Anybody that listens to me DJ or any of that, y'all know I can stand up there for hours, especially if they ain't cutting me constantly. I can stand up there for hours, and I definitely can be up there when my wife come downstairs and she jamming to the music with me, you know. So, shit, we just love music, man. I mean,
yeah,
we love music over here. Love music. Man, so, you know, that's the new hobby. Other than that, like I said, we're going to start recording our shit, putting our shit on YouTube. I'm getting the microphones. We should have been started this episode probably like 3 hours ago, but I was too busy trying to make the microphones work with the laptop, and I couldn't get the shit working right. So I'm back to the old format for right now so I can figure this shit out. But we're going to be live pretty soon. Can't wait to do that.
Right. And another thing is, I wanted to talk a brief second about our daughter has decided that she wants a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So one of her gifts for Christmas that we got her was a ring light, so that we can set it up and everything, and we'll be giving you guys the information so that y'all can support, you know, tune in and support her YouTube channel. She's going to be doing live SMR videos, and she's also going to be doing basically like a, I don't know if they're like little skits that she's going to be putting on. I want to say it's like a,
I mean, shit, they skits.
Yeah, like little skits.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be doing little
all
skits.
All in all, she's going to be performing, you know.
Yeah.
She's going to be in rare form. I'm also going to, I also
basically her, almost like a reality show is what she'll right. be doing.
Yeah. But by herself, except for when her cousins come through, I'm pretty sure she's gonna add them.
Oh yeah, yeah, they already been talking about it. Oh, so yeah, they're definitely gonna be the girls will be here, and when Kamari comes down, he'll be on, and you know, we're just working on a lot of things, you know, just trying to push forward. And a little thing that I wanted to touch bases on is the fact that, I don't know if a lot of people do, but me personally, it hasn't been for a long time, but I've recently started to really do a lot of self-meditation.
Really?
As far as me sitting and really tuning everything out and really trying to get in touch with my inner self and thinking about what I can do to push myself forward. What can I do to grow? Sitting and thinking about the year 2021. What did I do to push myself? Or am I still in the same position? Mm-hmm. And I think everybody should do that. I really do.
And then
turn the TV off. Put your phone down. And really just sit and digging deep into your thoughts and into yourself to figure out, dang, you know, what can I do to push myself to the next level? You know, if you got dreams or things that you want to do, or just working on you, period. You know, working on your attitude, working on your how you respond to things, working on how you have conversations with people. I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff I've been thinking about. I've been thinking about the conversations that I've had with other people that I feel like can have an effect on your day, is what I'm saying. So you could be having a good day, and then you get on the phone and they're telling you something that's negative.
And it'll bring that
It brings that energy. Right. It brings that negative energy because it's like, dang, I was having a good day and now I done got on the phone with whoever and they were saying what they were saying to me, which can make me start thinking about stuff that I wasn't even thinking about previous to the phone call.
Right.
Now I'm thinking about it and now here I am finding myself, you know, getting maybe a little irritated, or now my mind is wondering because of what the conversation is I was having on the phone. And what I think people need to do is back away from that. If it's not something that is positive, if it's not something that's going to push you forward, something that's going to motivate you, help you grow, information being shared that's going to do something in your life that's pushing you forward, then I feel like you shouldn't entertain it. You shouldn't listen to it. That's how I feel, because energy is real and the power of the tongue is real. And when people are saying things, sometimes they don't realize the damage that they're actually doing to their own lives. Like, really.
Or the damage that they're doing to another person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, shit, that's real. Like, shit, in other words, you know, what she's basically saying, if y'all, you know what I mean, not really understanding, is shit, y'all get a phone call from somebody and they want to vent to you about some personal shit and it's something. For one, it really ain't your business, even though they coming to you with it. One. Two, no matter what you got to say about it, whatever happens is still going to happen. And then three, if it's something negative, it might fuck your energy up, because it might be something that you could possibly relate to or something that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then it'll bring back memories. So the best thing is, you know, you listen to them, but don't prolong the conversation. I ain't saying just cut them off and be like, yo, I don't want to talk.
Sometimes,
you
know what I mean? Like, necessary.
Yes, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is necessary for your own peace. Sometimes
and
it is.
And it's not that you're being disrespectful. It's not that you are not being sympathetic to what they're going through. It's just that you don't want that negative energy. You don't want, especially, okay, I'm just going to throw out something. If somebody calls me and they've been cheated on, that is a trigger for me. I shouldn't even be discussing that with nobody, because I know how it's going to make me feel at the end of the phone call. I know how it's going to make me feel.
Right.
So therefore, why should I keep putting myself in that position to upset myself, and then it can possibly cause me and you to go start going round and round over something that has nothing to do with us, but in some ways I can relate to whatever they were saying on the phone. And now here I am, dang, you was just okay an hour ago.
Right.
Like, what's going on?
Now your energy knocked out for sure. Yeah. I mean, shit, anything though. Even things that you can't relate to, I still really don't want to even really deal with. Like, if somebody is constantly coming to me with them being abused in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And if I done gave them advice before as far as getting out of the relationship or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know it just ain't no easy thing, but you need to take the steps to, you know what I mean? All that good shit. And mm-hmm. you still constantly coming to me with the shit and you still in that, I don't want to hear that shit no more. You know what I'm saying? Those be them kind of things.
Yeah, because that's draining.
It is. And that's you're not going to leave, like, so why even tell me? Because you know what I'm going to say. So mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, why even tell me, man? So
it's basically like a roller coaster that never ends.
That never ends.
It just
ends.
Keeps going yeah. on and on and yeah. on and on.
Yeah.
Yeah, at a certain point, you just have to tell people, look, you know, I prefer for us to, you know, I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that, but I don't want to have this conversation. And you have the right to say that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, you have the right to say that and feel how you feel. And if they truly care about you, whether it be a friend, a family member, whoever, if they really care about you, they're going to respect you and say, okay, I respect right. how you feel.
And move on. Yeah,
and y'all move on talking about something else. And another thing that I've realized about people
shit,
in general,
all kind of noise and shit,
is that certain people only call you when they are down.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call you when they're having the happy times. They don't call you with positive things. They only call you when you're down. When they're on the up and up, they don't ring your line. But as soon as they're having problems in a relationship or whatever the case may be, then they want to call you and act like you're Dr. Phil. And I don't think that's cool neither, because that knocks people's energy off. Dang, you ain't been calling me. Call me when it's something positive going on.
Right.
You ain't got nothing positive to call me and tell me for me to cheer you on and tell you congratulations on whatever you're doing. You calling and telling me negative stuff all the time. Nobody wants to constantly hear that.
It's a constant. It's cool once or twice, but the constant.
I'm sorry. I don't have it. I don't have the energy for it at all. I don't. I'm sorry. I just don't. For my own mental.
You ain't trying to hear that shit, period.
I don't want to hear it at all. If it's not nothing that's positive and something happy, I don't want to hear it at all. That's where I'm at in my life. I
well,
just don't want to deal
see.
With it.
So, next time I hear your ass upstairs talking, and y'all talking about some crazy shit, don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to fly my ass up there and I'm going to pop shit. Like, there you go.
But no, you can't point this out, though. I rarely answer my phone.
Yeah, now. Yep.
And that's because of what, that's because I'm, it's not that I'm just going to say this and not do what I'm saying I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing it. So if that means me not answering my phone, then oh well, I won't answer my phone. I've been enjoying having my own peace of mind.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've been enjoying that.
For sure.
I'm trying to think of things and ways to get us to the next level, so that when we ride out 2022. And we get to the end of the year, God's will, we're going to be able to see everything that we've done this year going higher and higher. I don't want us to be at the same level. I want us to be far, far above where we're at now. In order to do that, everything else has to be blocked out. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. And see, for those that's listening, you know what I'm saying? This ain't no New Year's resolution. This been
something that's
been in the making. This is a on continuing thing. She's just talking like that because we're going into the new year. And I'm saying this because sometimes I just don't like how every year somebody got a new year's resolution or mm-hmm. it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying earlier, how you know what I'm saying, working on yourself and all that, right? Sometimes you will have a lot on your plate, and a lot of people that has a lot on their plate, you know, they get stagnant. Mm-hmm. They really don't want to fuck with that, and they just be like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? And it's an on continuing thing. They don't ever deal with their problems because it's too much stuff, and they, you know what I'm saying? That's how they complain about it. Bro, I just got too much shit going on. You know what I mean? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My advice to that is take it one at a time. You know what I'm saying? You can't attack everything at one time. You know that. So take one thing at a time. You know what I'm saying? Take care of the easy shit first. And the harder shit will work itself out. You feel me? For instance, if you a motherfucker who don't have their driver's license. So because you don't have your driver's license, you probably ain't got no job. And because you ain't got no job, say you got some kids or whatever, you probably ain't paying your child support. I mean, you know, it's just an ongoing thing. Mm-hmm. My first thing would be get your driver's license. You know, whatever it takes to get them shits, I know it'd be fines, people be having to pay or whatever, but I mean, if you surviving every day, if you eating, you smoking and drinking and all that, bro, you got to cut some of that shit out and take care of your business. You know what I'm saying? And then once you do that, you can take care of the next thing. Shit, you got your driver's license and shit. Some motherfucker will let you drive or shit. You probably got a car that you can't drive or whatever the case may be. Now you can get you a job. You can take care of all your little problems and shit. Just little shit like that. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. You know, just, I don't know, just, I know it's easy to be in the same spot and just be chilling. Because motherfuckers just be chilling. Like, for real, people just be chilling. They don't be wanting to do shit.
Because that comfort feeling feels good.
Yeah, just, it you know, feels they, too good they to everyday people. Routine be the same little dumb shit. I'm going to just make it up some shit good. Real just quick. Just
be honest. When you're in the same position and you're comfortable in that position, when you think about something different, for one, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary because people are scared of things that they've never done, food that they've never eaten, places that they've never been. Just crazy shit,
yeah.
So if a person is comfortable, they're going to feel like, I got it made. Why change? Why do something different? But that mindset is going to hold them back from experiencing everything that life has to offer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've been thinking about for us as a couple. Like, at the end of the day, we're going to go for what we want. And we might not get it all. But we can say we tried.
Hell yeah.
And we gave it 1,000% of what we had. And that's all that matters to me and you. We don't have nothing to prove to the world. Nothing to prove to family, friends, and nobody else. But me and you have to do this together. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to get us to the next level. If me and you are on the same page and we're locked in and ready to go, nobody can hold us back but us. And that's what a lot of people realize. They always want to blame it on this. Well, this is happening and I can't do it because of this. No, you are your own demon. You are.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, and that's some of the stuff I've been thinking about. Can't nobody stop me from nothing but my own self. I'm holding me back from me actually having a bakery. Because if I want a bakery and I put everything that I have into getting this bakery, I'm going to get it. And well, that's just period.
You already know. If you really want the bakery, we can have that shit right now.
I know that. But what I'm just saying in general, I could have had it in 2021, but
yeah,
certain things within myself is what kept me from doing it, you know? If it's something I really, really want and that I really deeply desire, I know I can get it. I don't have no excuses for it at all. None.
Well, shit, we gonna make that shit happen. For sure. Whenever
but what I ready. Do appreciate, you know, I always want to shout out all of our supporters. From the baking business to us cooking to everyone that tunes in on our podcast. We appreciate every single one of you because when we see the comments, when we get the feedback, we get the, you know, the inboxes, you know, it really does something for us, you know. So we really thank everybody and we appreciate it. And we're going to keep on going. We're going to keep pushing.
Oh, yeah, it ain't going to stop. We definitely going to keep pushing.
And you know what? I want to spend a brief second on.
What you want to spend a brief second on, man?
I want to talk about how I felt when I was thinking about going from just like the custom treats and cupcakes and stuff like that, actually to venturing over to doing cakes.
Oh.
Babe, when I say I was scared out my mind, because a lot of people that don't know nothing about baking, they probably be like, oh, well, why was you scared for? Making a custom cake is one of the hardest things that you can do in the culinary world. And I have zero culinary experience. I am doing all of this off the top of my dome, off of watching Food Network. Right. Off of watching YouTube videos.
Yep.
I have not been to culinary art school. I don't have no personal training. Nothing. So I was so scared when I decided. I'm like, Amber, you're going to start making custom cakes. And I was, oh my God, I remember the first one was Marcy's birthday cake. And I stayed up till, I know, like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Making that cake, I cried. Y'all didn't know because y'all was asleep.
Yeah,
I was so irritated. I was so frustrated. I cried. I'm like, God, please, you know, I have to deliver. This is somebody's birthday cake. This is the almost like the centerpiece of somebody's birthday.
Right.
Is their cake.
Right.
And so I was thinking to myself, Lord Jesus, just let me get through this. Let her like this cake. This is my very first one. I mean, I was just going through it. And to see when she came to pick it up, to see the smile, the joy on her face, it blew me out the water because that was my very first one. Right. And she trusted me to make her birthday cake. That was a big deal to me. But the whole thing was just like, I was nervous. I'm scared. Like, can you really do this?
But I mean, I'm saying, yeah, that is a big thing, babe, because you got to think. You didn't go to school for it. So everything you going off of is off of what you remembered off of the videos, or maybe you would watch some shit real quick or whatever. But mm-hmm. that's off of just looking. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're not even getting the teachers.
Yeah, you know, when you're in culinary art school, they keep making you do it.
Yeah,
practice
right,
over and over and over again.
So, yeah, that's some big shit. That's some real shit. And you knocked that shit out the park. Now look at you, though.
Mm-hmm.
You a beast.
I can
now.
Look, though. And that's what I was going to say.
Now.
I can look at from me making her cake to the cakes following, and I can see
right.
in each one, I'm getting better. I'm getting better and better. And I'm really proud of myself because I never imagined that this is what I was, you know, this is what I was going to be doing. I always did enjoy cooking and baking, but I never knew, like, I felt like I was going to have to go to culinary art school and, you know, in order to do these things. But no,
man,
I can do it.
Dead now, man. This the 2020s.
The 2010s, I know, but everybody 2020s. Can't just look at a video and
nah,
they be thinking they
can. Yeah, you right about
they
that.
They be thinking it all
right
is on YouTube and shit. It's not that simple.
Here's the thing, though. You got to have that real passion for that shit. All right, like for instance, I'm not about to go on YouTube, watch a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying, throw a football or no shit like that, and you know what I'm saying, on some quarterback shit and show me, and then I'm about to get real sweet. Because football ain't my shit.
Right.
I can care less about some goddamn football.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm probably ain't even going to be able to do that shit in basketball. And I love basketball, but I can't play that shit. But what I can do, I got an ear for music.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put some studio equipment in front of me or some DJ equipment in front of me, I'm going to figure that shit out. And I'm going to get real good at it because I got a passion for that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And a gift for it. Everybody don't have it.
I can hear certain shit that, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers don't be hearing type shit. It's just crazy. Like
I can't remember what beat it was, but you was like, babe, you hear that little tick or whatever you said, that little ting part.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, what are you talking about? And you actually had to point it out because it that it went right over my head. But that's something you heard that I wasn't paying no attention to because that's how much you love music.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Like, I done heard certain parts in the songs where I say it and motherfuckers like, man, I don't say that. I mean, yes, it does, man. Listen, like, you know what I mean? And they have to really find that shit. Like, man, hell nah. Like, yeah, but I, you know, so yeah, I love music. So that's the same with you with bacon. You love that shit. So anything to get put in your way, you're going to knock that shit out. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's your shit. That's your passion. So, you know, I mean, shit, look how hard we go. You talk that shit about me, about, babe, you would be up for hours figuring that, babe, you be up. I be tossing and turning in the bed like, man, where the fuck she at? Like, you know what I'm saying? Walk downstairs, you still fucking with that cake. You still fucking with them cook? I'm like, damn, she's still doing that shit. You would tell me, like, shit, I done had to make 2-3 more cakes, babe.
Oh, yeah, because I'll start over.
Yeah.
In a minute, I'll start refuse. Over.
Yep.
When it comes to me, and it may sound a little cocky, but when it comes to me putting my name on something,
yeah,
it's not leaving up out of here till it's
right.
Into that
shit, right, yeah.
And
yeah.
I've seen some disasters with some cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could do is think to myself, how could you have let that cake leave from your, wherever you're baking from, your home, your shop? You knew it wasn't right when you let them come get it or when you delivered it. I just can't. I cannot put my name on something that's not right. So if it means me stay up all night and lose out on sleep, cry, do whatever I need to do, I'm going to do it. Yeah. If I bake a cake and I feel like it's too brown, you know I'm throwing it in the trash.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be like, girl, ain't nothing wrong with that goddamn cake. We'll save it for us. Like, I'll be like, save that motherfucker for us. We going to eat that shit.
I can't. I just can't. You know, because I know, I mean, and it's not that everybody, oh, what do you care people say? You have to when you're baking. You have to care what people say. That's what keeps your business going. That's what keeps, you know, you don't want them out here. Oh, her cake was dry. It was burnt up. It was this. Hey, it was that.
Motherfuckers don't know the meaning of don't care what people say. You can't use that in them kind of instances. When you selling some
you
shit.
You better care.
Yeah, you got to. Like, what the fuck? I cut somebody here and I fuck it up.
You better not be bumping around cocky talking about you don't care or you must not want no business.
I cut somebody here and fuck it up. Man, bro, man, don't care about that shit, bro. Don't care what they say.
Right, they just
like,
got a bald spot.
Right. Man, fuck it, man. That soup bowl grow back. Like, no, man. No. I'm going to care about that shit.
Yes, I definitely care.
Hell yeah.
And I'm telling you, babe, when somebody comes to pick up their order, I'm patiently waiting to get the feedback.
Right. Like,
I'm waiting.
Say something.
Yeah, I need a message. I need a something. Mm-hmm. A phone call. I'm definitely waiting, you know. And it makes my day every time. I mean, it is no brother to order a small or big. Every message, every call, it all feels like the very first time, the very first order that I ever sold. It just amps me up. It's never like, oh, thank you. I'm always excited. I'm always, you know, geeked.
Right.
Every time somebody says how good something is or thank you so much or I'll be shopping with you again, just whatever they tell me. And I've had people tell me, you know, it was so good. Now I'm getting ready to pass your information to other people. That just... it does something for me because it's like, wow, it was so good to the point where you want to tell other people and bring me business from other people.
Right.
That makes my day.
Yeah, that makes my day too. Some shit. Man, we gonna go ahead and pay these bills, man. And I'm gonna go ahead and get to the meat of this conversation and shit because we got some things to talk about. We got to talk about bullying and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're going
to
talk about it, honey.
Yeah, so this your boy, DJ Knowledge God.
This is Queen.
This Let's Talk About It. We'll be right back. And we are back. Yes, sir. So, babe, before we start, how did you like that beat I was making?
I liked it. For it to be the very first beat.
That shit was, it was all right. Y'all should have heard it. I should have saved it. I should have saved it and shit, but I ain't save it, though. So, I thought it was kind of trash and shit. Not thought it was kind of trash. That shit was trash. But it was cool because I finally learned how to even do some shit. So, that was cool. But I'll get that shit together.
Yeah, you will. Babe, I liked it and you should have saved it because it's your very first beat.
Yeah, I should have saved that shit.
You know, for something for you to go back and look on and say, oh, wow, this is my first beat. Look where I'm at now type thing.
Well, I'm going to save my second one for sure.
Yeah.
I'm saving my second one and I'm going to do one tomorrow. So that's going to be my second one. So.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, it's all going to work out, babe. Yeah. You're going to get better and better. I'm telling you.
Just like I did with that. Because when I seen that motherfucking... That controller, the DJ controller, I was intimidating like a motherfucker.
Was
like,
you?
What all these goddamn buttons? Like, what the hell all this shit do? But yeah, I figured that shit out though, and it ain't that even. It's not even that hard. You just gotta have an ear to, you know, what I'm saying, to know what goes with what and what you can mix with what and all that little shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't mix something, you gotta know what else to do. Phase some shit out, or whatever the hell. Case may be, but anyway, let's talk about this bullying shit.
Well, my thing is that I would really love to know is where does bullying start? I have my own theory on how bullying starts, but you know, I could be wrong, or it could be, I'm sure it's multiple reasons why people bully.
There you go.
And I think one of them is that lack of attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can cause kids to bully. And the reason why we're touching on this subject is because our daughter has been being bullied by somebody at her school.
Yep.
And she's then come home a few times and telling us about this person, you know, he's constantly hitting her, knocking her down, or something's going on. And you know, it's not only upsetting for us as her parents, but it also makes me sad. Because our daughter has a heart of gold.
Right.
She's not violent. She's very, very loving and a compassionate person. Now, is she outspoken? Yes, she's very outspoken. She's got a, you know, one of those bubbly personalities, you know. She loves to sing. She loves to dance. She loves to have a good time. We've done gotten on her so many times about trying to make her hit other kids back, and she's having a problem with hitting them back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real upsetting, you know, for us, because I know me growing up, you hit me, you may just hit me, but I'm punching your ass back.
Right. I didn't.
My mom and my grandma and them, they didn't have to get on me to make me hit another kid back, because I already knew to hit them back, you know. But her, on the other hand, we have to constantly keep telling her to hit kids back, and she still won't. So, you know, like I said.
And she's not scared. Now, let's get this in the clear, because if somebody really upset her, we didn't see where she didn't, you know, mm-hmm. was about to fuck some shit, fucking little girls up, the one little girl,
yeah.
dude was trying to mess with her. So, you know, she's not scared of people, but at the same time, sometimes she just don't want to, you know.
She don't want no confrontation.
She don't want no problems, she right,
wanna,
yeah.
She's that kind of kid. She just wants to play with all the kids and
everything be good.
Everything be cool and everybody play and have a good time.
And that's, it ain't even nothing new. That's what's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Before she even experienced school and any of that since she was first talking and really comprehending shit, she always used to say, everybody supposed to love everybody, and you know, she used to always say shit like that. Remember, you know what I'm saying? Everybody supposed to love everybody. Everybody supposed to be sweet and, you know, be cool, and, you know, all that little shit. She used to always say that. Don't nobody supposed to fight, and you're not supposed to hurt each other. She used to always say them things. And I used to be like, well, Paris, that's how it's supposed to be, but it's not like that.
Right.
Well, that's how it's supposed to be, and, you know, that's how I want it to be. So she always was like that, you know. But, yeah, like you said, it's multiple things. So, for instance, I used to be a bully when I was in school. I was in elementary school. I think one of the reasons was lack of attention, but it wasn't so much even the attention. It was all the shit me and my brother was going through.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I had built up anger, always getting beat on, wasn't eating right, you know. And I was in survival mode. So when I was in school, I was just fucking shit up because I used to want shit. And I used to take shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't think about really what I was doing to them. I was just really worried about what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
And then, too, I remember you saying what would make you act up, too, was the fact that since I'm always in trouble and that's my way of getting attention.
Yeah.
How about I just cut up?
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting loved on or
ain't nothing getting else attention. Working.
Yeah. Any other way. And I feel like that could be the case with a lot of kids. Because me personally, I feel like when I was growing up, it was so many of us that I didn't get the attention that I deserved.
Right.
And so my thing was, I would fight. And it's been taking me forever to realize that I think that that's what it was, is that I wasn't getting what I needed as far as from my parents. So, it wasn't that I was starting the fights, but soon as something came my way, I was ready to fight, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't going looking for the problems and the trouble, but as soon as it came my way, my first instinct was to fight.
Right.
It wasn't to, maybe this could be talked out. It wasn't to, I'm about to go tell, because I never told. I never went and told no teacher.
Right.
I handled it on my own,
yeah.
And I would fight. Instead of, Amber, there's other ways you could have dealt with this. You could have went and told, you could have did this, you could have did that. Maybe y'all could have talked about it. In my brain, it instantly, oh, you need to fight this person. And that's not always how you solve problems constantly all the time.
Right. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to back up a little bit.
Okay.
You know, when we was talking about, you know what I'm saying, why kids be showing up, be being bullied or whatever, you know what I'm saying, lack of attention, right? For everybody that's listening, I don't care if it's one person, I don't care if it's 100 people, this is very important. Listen, y'all need to pay attention. Females, males, whoever. One way that you can really tell a child is not getting the proper attention. All right, so say a kid do something, right? And it's funny. Everybody laugh or whatever. Ha, ha, ha. And they just keep constantly do it. Like, say if it's a spin around or some shit. Say a motherfucker did something, he spent around.
Right.
Motherfucker laugh. Ah, nigga, this nigga spent around. So they'll just keep spinning around because he keep wanting that laugh.
Right.
And it's not coming like it did at first, but to him, he thinking, oh, shit, I got some attention. He or she thinking, I got some attention, so let me keep doing it because they laughed or, you know what I'm saying, they said something about it. Them be the ones who really lack attention. because they fight just for that one little thing.
Yeah.
A person that constantly get attention, you know, it flows. Like, take Paris, for instance. She a funny motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know, we stay laughing at, or, you know what I'm saying, we stay, girl, you just, you know what I'm saying, to say some shit, or, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, or whatever, or sometimes we don't even try to say it, but I think she be knowing. Mm-hmm. But she don't constantly do it over and over and over again, the same thing, mm-hmm. but to try to get that attention because it's regular shit to her.
Right.
But I done been that kid to where I done did some shit, motherfucker done laughed, or, you know what I'm saying, my, you know what I'm saying, my foster dad and shit done laughed, or just said, man, look at him. So I just keep doing it, thinking I'm going to get good, the same little, yeah, you know what I'm saying, because it felt good to get the little attention and shit, mm-hmm. yeah, but I wouldn't get it again the same way, because I'm not noticing, nigga, you done wore it out, like, you can't keep doing the same thing.
Right,
like,
but being as though you're lacking that attention, you didn't know in a kid's mind that I can't keep right. doing it, and I'm right. not going to keep getting the same outcome. You just it's want just, that same want feeling that you got the first time.
Man, that shit felt good as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so let me keep doing it.
Yeah.
But if you constantly showing your child that good attention, man, they're not going to keep doing
it. Yeah, it's because, a natural thing. Because yeah, you're giving them attention yeah. that they deserve and that they should have.
That's
yeah.
real game. I'm telling you, that's real game.
Yeah.
Because I remember me doing that shit. I swear I do. That shit used to be crazy.
Yeah, they act out. Kids act out in all different kinds of ways. And a lot of, I mean, and two, I mean, it's so, the list is so long as far as bullying goes. I feel like, too, a lot of kids bully because they don't have what other kids have.
That too.
And so that makes them lash out.
Sheer jealousy.
Yeah, makes them angry and lash out because they see that another child has a lot of this and they don't have a lot of it. So that can make that child be the target of being bullied.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like I feel like at Paris's school, I have no clue why they took the uniforms away. If all the kids looked the same, they're all made to wear the same thing, it cuts bullying down.
It cuts a lot of stuff down.
Because we're all the same. We yeah. all got on white shirts and navy blue pants.
Yep.
The only thing that's different is their shoes. And some schools are so strict, the shoes even got to, they got certain, color that they got yeah. to have. Yeah.
Ours was like that. Yep.
So for the life of me, I don't know why they took that away. Because they don't, for one, they don't know what circumstances each child is up under. They don't know what their finances is looking like. So for them to just in the midstream cut their uniforms out, do you know what that done to a lot of parents? Like, oh my God, it left them feeling like I gotta go out and buy all these extra clothes.
Right, I know it was
tough. And all these uniforms that I done bought are now all going to go to waste because now they just switched it and now they talking about they ain't wearing uniforms no more. Just think about how people felt.
And just think about the parents that kept their kids wearing the uniforms as long as they could until their child probably was coming home like, listen, mommy, I'm getting bullied now. They talking about me. I'm the only one. Right. I'm the only one with a uniform on. Like, mm-hmm. come on. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because,
like,
I mean, a lot of their parents probably couldn't at the drop of a dime just run out and buy them a new wardrobe for school.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them probably couldn't afford to do that. It's just so much, you know, but I don't know. I want our kids, when they leave from our home, I want to feel secure that they're at school and that they're learning, that they're okay. Not that they're being bullied or anything else.
Right.
It's already a worry. When they leave from our presence, it's already a worry. So when Paris's bus comes every morning, from the time she's picked up, and I pray over her every morning, though, before she leaves out of here. I pray over her. I pray over the bus driver. I pray over everybody.
Right.
But then I'm sitting here, man, is she going to be hit today? Is this going to happen? Is she going to fall down? I mean, it's just, my mind goes all over the place, you know? We should feel somewhat secure when our children is at school. These teachers, these principals and stuff, they're so nonchalant. They don't call when real stuff's happening. Now, they call you about something stupid, but they don't call you about the real stuff that's actually going on. And that's another thing I'm worried about. Like,
and that school was ghetto as hell.
Oh, yeah. Paris is coming up out of there.
You know what I'm saying?
Paris is coming up out of there. This is her last year there. She's coming up out of there because I can't take it no more. And I honestly, you know,
We didn't know at first.
I could see myself losing my temper. Yeah. I could see it very easily. So, yeah, I'm just, and to avoid that, we're just going to pull her out and we're going to put her somewhere we feel, you know, with her being safe and secure and that she's going to get 100% quality learning experience that she should be getting. Because my thing is, with her coming home telling us all this stuff, all these teachers is around, what are y'all doing?
Nothing. Not a goddamn thing. Not a goddamn thing. Let me speak into the mic. Not a motherfucking thing.
Yeah, that don't make sense. For her to keep coming home telling us certain stuff, and where is all these teachers at? Are y'all on y'all's phones? Are y'all on Facebook? What's going on? Are y'all texting? I mean, what is going on with all these incidents that's happening? And the fact that us as her parents, are not getting a phone call. They're not calling my phone. They're not calling your phone to let us know what's going on. It takes for parents to actually come home
and say something.
And I know off the rip when she gets off the bus if something's wrong. Because I can look at her face when she's coming off the bus. And I can tell something didn't happen. And I'm like, Paris, what's wrong? And she'll tell me, we ain't got a phone call. Not one. From the principal, the assistant principal, or her teacher. No phone call. Why is all these incidents going on and our child's having to come home and tell us about it?
You know what I'm about to do? You know what I thought about?
What?
And I'm not just saying this. This is what I thought. I was thinking about this earlier. So since I got so many days off during the week, I'm going to start seeing if I can volunteer at their school.
They're not letting nobody volunteer no more.
Are you serious?
Because of COVID.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not letting nobody volunteer. They're not letting parents be a part of nothing no more. Like, remember how, you know, the kids will be having the different parties and we can go up there and be a part of it and all that. We're not allowed to do none of that. If they allow, like, snacks to be dropped off, is drop it off in office and leave. We're not even allowed to do stay up there.
Damn.
So, ain't no volunteering, ain't none of that.
I ain't even think about that shit.
Because, you know, I've thought about so many times of us just going up there and popping in. We can't just pop up.
Damn.
Because if that's the case, we would have been going up there, sitting, you know, going in.
Yeah, at least you
for a little while.
At least you for sure. While you know,
they ain't letting nobody do that.
Damn, that's fucked up. Damn.
But see, what I feel like as far as us as parents, and it irritates Paris so much, and it probably used to irritate Jaleel too. Now that he's grown, I don't do it as much, but I constantly tell Paris how beautiful she is, how smart she is, how caring she is, how much I love her every day, multiple times a day. Mom, you already told me that. She does all that. But she just don't realize that she's loved beyond measure. She's loved beyond. And I'm going to say it 1,000 times a day.
That's probably why she
gives me. I'm going to hug her 1,000 times a day. I'm going to kiss on her 1,000 times a day. You can never love and kiss on your kids and show them love and support and attention. There's never too much. It's never too much the way I see it.
That's probably why she be giving me such negative feedback. Because anytime I tell her she beautiful, she just be looking at me like, Dad. I be like, hey, what? Like, you beautiful. You smart.
I tell her so many times.
That's probably why she be looking at me and be saying that like that. Because she be like, what the fuck you and Mom got going on? Y'all keep telling me this shit. You know how she is, man.
You know I hug her 1,000 times a day. Kiss her.
But she loves it, though.
She be trying to act like she does.
Yeah, she loves it.
Yep. She's definitely, it showed. And Jahlil was too. Mm-hmm. He was too. I mean, he'd
still do it if he could. if I wasn't around, man, yes. Well, come here. hey, come on. Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yes. Yes, yes.
But yeah, he definitely would. He slept with me till he was 10 years old.
I know.
And I used to still try to hold him. He was huge. I used to be like, come sit on my lap.
Hey, this nigga wasn't cleaning his own room. He wasn't picking his own clothes out. He wasn't ironing yet.
Nope, he wasn't ironing.
He wasn't doing none of that. He wasn't taking out no trash, nothing. I was doing all that shit by then.
I know, but oh well.
I was ironing by like seven, 6 years old. I was ironing.
Oh yeah, that was pretty young to be ironing.
Shit.
But hey,
Miss Lewis taught us how to iron.
That's good though.
She taught us how to earn and got down. Hell yeah. We got to it. And then she showed us how to cook a little bit. But then when I got with Mom, Mom really showed me how to cook. Mm-hmm. Bob, I think Bob just developed that shit. Just on his own and shit. I don't know.
But yeah, I think for everybody listening, I just want to say it's so important to pour love and attention into your kids is so, so important. Because a lot of us didn't get that growing up. We wasn't constantly told that we were loved. We wasn't constantly hugged on. We wasn't constantly told how beautiful and intelligent we are or how handsome you are. We wasn't told that. And so it creates something within your personality. It really does.
Another thing, too, even if it ain't, I ain't gonna say fake listen. Fuck that shit. Listen. When your kids be coming to you, man, with that little silly shit, they want to show you something, man, listen to that shit, man. Ain't shit, bro. Real quick. Because it ain't gonna be long. But that should be important to them, man. Listen to that shit.
Important to them. That's what I'm saying.
Because when you don't listen, and if you look at your child's face when you don't listen,
that lets them down.
Oh my God.
Crushes them.
Hey, I remember I did that shit one time, and I looked at Paris's face, and she was done. I was like, I will never do that again. I will never do that again. Now, listen to all that little shit, whatever it is.
Just listen to them, because like you said, all they're wanting is that attention.
Yeah, man, listen to that them. Little
whatever
shit.
Whatever you're doing, it's not that deep and detrimental to the point where you can't pay your kids no attention. And that is what is wrong, I'm telling you. I see it happening so much. Mm-hmm. A lot of these parents are so lost in what they're doing. They're having these kids. And just these kids them is just raising their damn self. Right. Let's letting just them be just real. Be. The kids is raising themselves.
Y'all can be in the same house.
Yeah, they're in the same house.
Y'all can be in the same house.
The parents is living their life and the kids is busy raising themselves. The parents, it's crazy. The difference between just because somebody has their kids in their house does not make them good parents.
Nah, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. My fault. Yes, of course y'all in the same house. Y'all can be in the same house at the same time. And the kids are still raising themselves by themselves while you in another whole part of the house doing whatever the fuck you got
going on. In a whole different world.
Different fucking world. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I got my kids. My kids stay dressed from head to toe.
That doesn't mean
just
anything.
Just because your kids got the latest J's on, every pair of J's that come out, and you're going and buying them $200 outfits does not make you a good parent.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You could possibly be providing all of that for them, but still not be connected with your children. Still not giving them the proper attention, the proper love, life skills, everything that's going to affect them as being an adult. A lot of these people is not doing it. They just want to show off for Facebook, for social media. Oh, they got the new this that came out. They got the new that. But are you, what's their grades looking like? Are you on top of them on their grades? Are you, do you really know who they are as a person? Because you can sit and ask me about either one of my kids and I can run them down.
Hell, do you play with them? Do you, you know,
yeah.
do you do any interact of that kind of
stuff? Interact that's what with I'm them, saying. Period. A lot of them don't. These kids is raising themselves, and that's why, too, a lot of them is bullies. Because they're not getting what they should be getting at home, and they're lashing out. And, it's, and you know, it's, it got me heated. Because then you got people like our daughter get picked on. When she's going to school to learn.
Right.
We're not sending her to school to fight.
Hell no.
We're not sending her to school to be violent. We're sending her to school to get a good education.
She gonna get that, for sure.
You know, I'm not attacking nobody's parenting skills, but I'm just saying. Cutting up just, not just, it doesn't just, oh, I'm gonna act up just because. There's a reason behind.
And all y'all wanna do is just whip their ass. Because that's usually what happened to the child. They're just cutting up. You know, they get their ass whooped or they get a good talking to.
I was just about to say, because the parents don't even whoop them.
Yeah, I was about to say, all depending. You know, you might get a good talking to. Or you might get
your
ass
whooped. Why are you doing that? That is it. But a lot of people, too, they're so used to yelling that the fact that whatever their kid was going to say, it silenced their kid.
That's another.
It silences their kids because they feel like all they hear is this loud noise.
Right.
When a parent is constantly screaming, constantly yelling. And don't be a parent that cusses at your kids constantly and calls them out their name.
All that crazy crap.
Because guess what's going to happen? You're turning your child against you, first of all. Second of all, you're silencing your child.
And then you're turning them into a demon, bro. Like,
yeah, you're
they're going to be talking to their people like that.
If I'm a child and something done happened and I hear, ah, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to shut down. I'm going to shut down. So whatever I was going to say to my parent, it don't even matter at this point. Because she or he's too busy yelling and screaming at me that whatever I did feel or whatever I did have to say, I'm just not gonna say nothing no more. Because what can I do to compete against this? Or if I do, then they probably feel like if I do speak up and they're in the midst of being angry and upset, I might get hit.
Yeah.
So they're scared of that too. But I'm gonna get hit, so I'm just not gonna say nothing at all. When if you sit and actually talk to your child and let them talk back to you to try to figure out what's going on, maybe you can make more sense of what's happening. But all that yelling and beating on them constantly all the time, that doesn't always solve the problem. Because I know a lot of kids, their parent never really talked to them. All they done was beat them.
Right.
And so they never even got to figure out why their child's cutting up or none of this. They just straight grabbed a belt or something and whooped them. Nothing ever got solved from it, and it's always like that. Every time they do something, they get a whooping. Well, what'd you whoop them for? They was cutting up. Did you ask them why they was cutting up? Girl, no, well, what do you think is going to happen?
Right.
Yeah. And all you're doing is yelling them and beating on them. What do you think is going to, what the outcome is going to be?
This shit crazy.
And you know what? There's been situations. Because Jalil's always been a good kid. He was always a good kid. And I had somebody tell me before, you need to whoop him. You need to beat his ass. And I looked and I thought to myself, how can you tell me to whoop my child? How? What's in your eyes that you feel like my child needs a whooping for? I might not feel like it's that bad. I might be able to speak to my child and work this out. And in your eyes, all you see is that I need to whip my child. And a lot of people do that too. They'll whip their child because somebody else said you need to whip.
Yeah, they will.
How are you going to beat your child because you're listening to somebody else tell you you need to
another
whip your child?
Maybe
I don't feel like it was that bad that he needed no whooping. And that be burning people up. Ooh, she just burnt me up. Now, she knows she should have beat him. Well, guess what? And that's why God blessed me with Jalil, not you.
And then too, ain't nobody
beat your own kids.
Man, listen, ain't nobody about to tell me what my child. We probably been in a star fighting.
But you know that's been said all the time. You need to whip him, or you need to whip her, or people tell people that all the time, and it makes me think the audacity.
Right, you got me fucked up.
Just because then, you feel like it's that bad in your eyes, I might not feel like it deserves no whooping. Everything that a child does don't deserve no whooping.
And then, too, if you constantly whooping your child, after a while, that shit ain't going to mean nothing.
Oh, no, nothing at all.
And once they get old enough, once they get old, you constantly call them little punk-ass nigga, little bitch. Listen, and I'm saying this because, so when I was living down south, you know, and not even that far down, but when I was living down south, man, they be calling they motherfucking kids little bitches,
little
punk ass niggas, and little fuck you little motherfuckers, and all just crazy. I was looking like, God damn. I was like, man, I would never have no kids down here.
That's a
because
problem.
If any of your aunties motherfucking. Any of them kind
that
of shit.
Is appalling. I would go the fuck off. Imagine calling our kids no cuss
fucking
words.
Right.
Like, oh my God.
And it'd be crazy cuss words. Some with your little bitch ass and whoop the whoop.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, like I would. Hey, I used to be tripping like,
that's
yo,
horrible.
This shit's crazy. So, yeah, you can't do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Once you start doing that shit too much, after a while, man, that shit going. Shit, man, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? What they gonna start saying, and they gonna start rebelling against that shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Once they get...
That's traumatizing.
Yeah, it is.
That is traumatizing to a child.
I'm saying, but once they turn, like, fucking 16, 17 type shit, you can't keep doing that shit without them saying nothing back. And then they gonna think that that's what it is, and they gonna think it's cool. And if they talk to their mama like that, then they definitely gonna talk to whoever they fucking with like that.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They female.
Oh, yeah.
And then
if
they have kids,
yeah,
they gonna
parents,
talk to their fucking kids like that.
Our parents or whoever is over top of us, rather us be being raised when we're born by a parent, an uncle, aunt, whoever, that is who we look up to.
Yeah.
You're not just born into this world bad. You're not born into this world knowing cuss words, knowing disrespect,
racist,
knowing whatever.
None of that kind
yeah,
of shit.
The stuff is taught. The stuff is taught to you. And that's why I've always done my best. Even becoming a parent at the age of 17 years old, I always done my best to be the best mother to Jaleel that I could. To set a good example for him. And I've done a hell of a job with him. A hell of a job with him. Being as though I became a parent so young.
Yes, you did, babe. You still wipe his butt when he pooped.
Babe, shut up.
I'm just
stupid. But no, for real. I mean, think about how young I was, a baby having a baby.
Right.
You know? And I've done a good job with him. And I'm not taking away from my grandparents because they was definitely... Definitely my support system.
Oh,
1,000%.
A million.
And they had a huge part in helping me raise Jaleel.
Mm-hmm.
God rest both of their souls. They done a beautiful job helping me raise him. But he turned out to be, you know, good. He's never even been handcuffed. Never. Nothing.
I ain't had no handcuffs on him.
Nothing.
That's what's up. I said that like I didn't know that.
I'm about to say, babe, you know that. You must be tipsy or something.
Yeah. I said that shit like I didn't know.
He's been with me since he was 12 years old.
Right. I said that shit like I didn't know that.
Lord Jesus, help this man. Yeah, that's why I'm like doing podcasts with him because he start talking out the side of his neck, y'all.
Nah, shut up. I did say some crazy shit, though.
Come on, yeah, did he? Like, okay, we only been together the last 10 years.
Right. Hey, my little nigga ain't.
No, he's never been in no kind of trouble at all.
Shit,
thank you, Lord. Thank you. Like, yeah, he's never put me through anything. But Not taking out the damn trash when he's supposed to.
I'm about to say he done put me through hell.
Or doing the dishes.
He done put my ass through hell with that shit.
I'll take that any day over getting a goddamn phone call from downtown.
Right.
Saying he's locked up or he's into this trouble or into that trouble.
Right. Yeah. Hell yeah. Any day. But shit. End of the day, man, just treat your kids right, man.
And yes, treat these babies right.
Treat these babies right. And they ain't going to be showing out. I guarantee. I don't think it's one bully out there that got the proper attention that they deserve and need and is treated right. I don't think that's
yeah.
That exists.
It's something.
It's always something, when it comes to these bullies, man.
It's something. Like I said,
get your kids in order.
It could be anywhere from attention to them being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Bullies
boil burgers.
Babe, shut up. No, bullies bully people. That's what I'm trying to say. So if a bully is being bullied, that's what is making them do it.
You said it wrong again.
What?
You said bullies bully people. Of course bullies bully people. People that get bullied bullies people is what you're trying to say.
Well, they know what I'm talking about.
She's saying bullies bully people. Well, goddamn, of course they do. What the hell?
But I mean, everybody knows what I'm saying.
Fuck that, because you're talking about I'm tipsy and all that shit. This is why I don't like doing no podcast with him, because he don't be knowing. Come on. But bullies bully people.
Babe, shut up. Yeah, but anyway, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I feel like if they're being bullied, that's what makes them do it too. I mean, it's so many reasons. A lot of reasons.
I don't agree with that, babe.
Why?
I never met.
Hold on. Let me explain what I'm saying, and then you can say it.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, okay, you got a person that's a bully. They're bullying people. But who's to say there's not somebody that's bigger than them bullying them? And then they're finding somebody puny, somebody weak. Because it's making them feel something. It's giving them some kind of power.
All right. I can see that.
So then they like, let me go find a little puny motherfucker that I'm bigger than. And now I'm getting ready to pick on them. Because I know that I'm overpowering this motherfucker.
Right, because like we said earlier, it's multiple ways. And that is one of the ways.
Yeah. 9 times out of 10, they probably...
And the reason why I said I ain't agree with it at first is because I was thinking about a certain scenario me and Rob was in.
Uh-huh.
I think we was in probably the third grade or maybe earlier than that. I can't remember. But me and him was at breakfast or at lunch or some shit. And some dude came up to us and he was like, man... Which one of y'all is taller? Me and Rob looked at each other, and I'm like, I think he taller. Rob, I think he taller. He's like, man, go ahead and stand, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and stand, you know, head to head to each other, and let me see. So we stood head to head to each other, and this nigga clunked our heads.
Banged y'all's heads together.
Yeah, he banged our heads together and shit. Bam.
He was a bully.
And we ain't do nothing. Hold on, though. We ain't do nothing, right? So, I felt some type of way about not doing nothing. So, at the end of the day, I told Rob, bruh, that ain't gonna never happen to us again. I would never, ever in my life let another person put their hands on me. And I said that to him. Make a long story short, I said, later on that year, the same dude, he getting pumped by a nigga. He over there looking like super scared, though. Mm-hmm. Super scared. And after the little situation was over, I'm just looking at him. And I'm looking like, damn, that's the nigga that did the shit.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why he was bullying y'all, because somebody was bullying him.
So then, like, the next year when I seen him, I went on ahead and punked him and shit. And he was a sucker. I don't even know if he remembered me. You know what I'm saying? Because I changed so much in that 1 year. So you know how mm-hmm. sometimes you got that 1 year where you just change so much. I think it was like from 6th grade to 7th grade. Yeah, like one of them little shits. Yeah, man. But it just fucked me up. Like, man, this nigga, man, he did some bullshit.
Right, he really like, saw for real.
Yeah, I was pissed. But that right there, and I think that probably what made me start being the bully. Because I don't think I started bullying before that. No, matter of fact, I didn't. I ain't started bullying before that, I don't think. So, yeah, that probably was. No, hold on. Let me backtrack. Yeah, I'm lying like a motherfucker. Yeah, when I was with Ella and Frank, I was bad. I was a bully back then. So, yeah, and when I was with Miss Lewis, and when I was with those one motherfuckers that was racist. I can't remember what their names was. It was some white folks. The motherfuckers was racist as fuck. Can't what their name was. Anyway, we done threw 41 minutes back into this one. So we need to go ahead and...
Yeah, we about to wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Like back in the day. 106 and Park. Well, shit.
You stupid.
It's your boy, Knowledge Guy.
Mrs. Queen.
This is definitely another episode of Let's Talk About It. We got more to come. And we definitely going to be coming with more sooner. So y'all just stay tuned. We love y'all. Thank y'all for listening. Peace.
The Cameron Experience.
Let's Talk About It was produced by none other than your boy, Frederick Cameron. Executive produced by Amber Cameron, engineered by Frederick Cameron, and recorded in the King's Dungeon somewhere in Ohio. This is an official Cameron Experience Network. Yeah.